It's time we're joined by Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk, what else? Food. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and Happy New Year.
That's right. We're heading to that.
It is New Year this week, and everybody is reviewing their year, so I figured, why not me? I had an eventful year, actually, even though I was mostly in the house. It was a cartoon I saw recently. I think it must have been in the New Yorker, and the woman was saying to her husband, I guess, since when did going to the grocery become a major form of exercise? And that's me. My major form of exercise is walking every aisle in a very large supermarket. Which is easier with a cart, too, by the way. If you have trouble walking, it's a good thing to do it with the shopping cart. Anyway, I, you know, spent the last, 16 months, eating ketogenically, which is to say, with a minimum amount of carbohydrates, meaning really minimum. On a good day, I can keep it to 20, but by the way, you should look up the carbohydrates in foods as well as calories. Calories do count, but in the beginning, on the keto diet, you don't think about calories. Anyway, on a good day, I would keep it to 20 or about, and on a medium day, I would keep it to under 50, which is already pretty low. And after a number of months on this diet, I did indeed need to splurge every once in a while and eat some major carbohydrate. So I remember distinctly last, not this past, but the year before Thanksgiving, I ate pasta for Thanksgiving because that was going to be my big treat. Turkey was not a treat for me. Plus, if we recall, we were all stuck at home. A couple Thanksgivings ago. Anyway, so I ate inspired, let's say, by a Calvin Trillin piece from the 1980s. I had spaghetti alla carbonara, or spaghetti carbonara, for Thanksgiving, and it didn't agree with me. So I haven't had a major pasta meal since then. But I do crave, you know, it's strange. I crave bread and rice, not pasta and potatoes. Although a potato, I had a little bit of a potato the other day, and it did taste very good. And I did have mashed potatoes this past Thanksgiving, and they tasted great, with lots of butter and cream. Anyway, I have the good thing about the diet that I've been on is that, one, my diabetic numbers are normal now. I had, as a result, I suppose, so does my doctor, of diabetes. I had some neuropathy in one of my feet. That's 90% gone. I had a lot of arthritic pain. Now, this, I don't know if this is psychological or actual, but when I indulged for more than one meal, meaning like this past couple of weeks when it's been holiday season and it's hard not to indulge, my arthritic pain comes back a little bit, but mostly it's gone. I still have other mobility issues, but it's not because of arthritis. So it has improved, and I've lost 50 pounds. Now, I lost the 50 pounds in less than a year. I would say after 10 months, I lost 50 pounds, maybe 12 months. But I have not lost weight in quite a while. I'm maintained. I eat this way now because mostly I enjoy eating this way. And I'm going to get to all the foods that I have discovered, rediscovered, or have been making a lot while I'm doing this. Anyway, I lost the weight, but then I stopped losing weight. And at first I thought I was on what they call the keto plateau. Now, I have experienced a couple plateaus along the way up to the 50 pounds. But after the 50 pounds, I'm not losing weight. because I don't move enough. Listen, it's calories do count. Now, this is the week of the year, every year since I can remember, and I've been a food journalist for over 50 years, that everybody thinks about what diet am I going to go on in January. Because, you know, holiday time, even if you got through the Thanksgiving week without doing too much damage, you know, eventually, it, cookies, various treats. I don't even need to go into all the possible treats. And believe me, when you're depriving yourself, if you feel it is deprivation, of these treats, you think about them more. I have obsessed over silly things in the last year. In any case, I eat pretty well. Now, here's what the diet consists of. You must not eat any white carbohydrate. That means anything with flour, anything with wheat, flour, rice, pasta, potatoes, bread, even brown bread, none of those products can you eat. You can't eat any vegetables that grow below ground, meaning root vegetables. Carrots are really loaded with carbohydrates. And yes, I use a carrot here and there in my cooking, but really I do avoid carrots. I make coleslaw without carrots. So carrots, beets, anything that grows underground, forget about it. Turnips, parsnips in particular, they're very, very high in sugar. So sugar, of course. And so that eliminates all sweets except for fruit. Now, and even fruit is very limited. Most fruit is high in carbohydrates, high in sugar. Sugar is, by the way, the most basic carbohydrate, the simplest in technical terms, it's a simple carbohydrate, simple sugar. But the other ones are not much more complex. And the way our bodies work is we take the easy way out, our bodies, and the first thing that we use for energy is actual sugar, simple sugar, because it's just right there in our bloodstream. The next would be to break down starch into sugar, and that's not so hard either if it's a simple starch like flour, anything made with flour. Rice has practically nothing but is nothing but a carbohydrate. Pasta has, if it's made with good flour, which is these days mostly, even in the U.S., it's got a good protein content because it's made with high-protein flour, but still a white carbohydrate. Anyway, you eliminate all that, below-ground vegetables, and most fruit except for any kind of berry, except blueberries are the least favored berry. The most favored would be strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries. Now, try to find a good strawberry this time of the year, I dare you. However, I have had a couple of respectable raspberries, Driscolls. I don't know where they grow them, but the big ones that are coming into the market right now are not so bad. And melon. Mainly cantaloupe is the best one. Cantaloupe, by the way, and watermelon, but, you know, you can't get a good watermelon now. But this summer, remember that. Watermelon is way better than most people think it is. And cantaloupe is also a very low carbohydrate fruit. If, you know, I need to have something at the end of my meal to close it all off. And I'm not eating, you know, any baked goods. So a piece of fruit, a few strawberries does it for me. A quarter of a melon does it for me. And by the way, this time of the year, glad I remembered this from last year, because it's very hard to find fruit in the winter. I'm not eating apples. An apple, by the way, has about the same number of about 20 or so depends on the size of the apple, of course, carbohydrates. So it's like enough in one apple for me for a whole day if I'm on my strictest keto. So I think I started to say this but didn't finish the thought. So your body uses sugar first, starch next, and finally it'll use stored fat, your stored fat. So what you do by eliminating the sugar and the starch is you force your body to metabolize its own stored fat. And that's how you lose weight, on keto. Now, you will lose, at any diet that you choose to go on, you're definitely going to lose weight the first week or two, a lot. More than, you know, you will after that, and don't get disappointed if you've never been on a diet before. But, you know, they always say it's water weight. Well, it's, maybe it is, but whatever it is, when you start any diet, you lose, you know, a few pounds. After that, you may not, actually, properly, you shouldn't lose much more than 2 pounds a week. So that means that in a year, you could lose 100 pounds, if only. Anyway, I have been eating pretty well, even without all the carbs and no sugar. As I say, I've been indulging lately because it's holiday time. And I figure if I can't indulge now, what not? And also, I've discovered, here's something. One of the first things people asked me, especially dieter friends, asked me is, well, is this sustainable? Well, I have to say at this point, yes, it is sustainable. And even though I have now been off since Thanksgiving, I'm really not every day off, but I allow myself this, that, and the other thing. And I overate the other day and felt sick. I got to say, it was lunch, and fortunately, had the rest of the day to digest it, but I way overindulged. In any case, I'm eating a lot of vegetables, a lot of vegetables, and anything that grows above ground is game for this diet. Since you are encouraged to eat fat on the keto diet. In fact, the macro, as they call it, for keto is like 70% of your calories should come from fat, and then 20% from, or even 25% from protein, and 5% from carbohydrates, so very few carbohydrates. But all the above ground vegetables, I don't count. They're all so low in carbohydrates, you don't even think about it. I don't think about it. I don't count those carbohydrates. And since you can eat them with fat, you can have things like broccoli au gratin, broccoli with cheese sauce on it, which inspired me to make, of course, with leftover turkey for Thanksgiving, turkey divan, which was a big bed of broccoli with slices of turkey and cheese sauce on top of that. Plus, I even put more cheese on top of the cheese sauce just to make a sort of crust. Now, I have taken to using breadcrumbs judiciously, but breadcrumbs is something you should not have on the keto diet. So if you're starting in January, don't even think about breadcrumbs. So another thing, the keto people all use cauliflower for so many different things as substitutes for other things. I've not gotten to cauliflower crusted pizza yet. That you can buy frozen in the supermarket, and probably Oprah has one of those. And she's a Weight Watcher spokesperson. So I guess the cauliflower pizza must be on Weight Watchers. I should try it sometime, but I'm not. I haven't yet. But what I have made, and actually I've become, I really like doing this, is making cauliflower fried rice. I had real fried rice the other day, and it was delicious because that was one of the things I'd been craving and haven't allowed myself, is roast pork chuck fried rice from the Chinese takeout. Well, it's not a takeout. It's a restaurant, but now they only do takeout. So cauliflower, now the recipe that I started out using comes from Ree Drummond, the pioneer woman. You can look it up on her website. Actually, it's a Food Network website. And just look up cauliflower fried rice. And what she does is she makes a base of sauteing, in a combination of vegetable oil and sesame oil, some garlic, ginger, scallions, you know, very classic Chinese seasonings, but with some chili sauce. Now that I'm ketoized, I've discovered that sriracha has sugar in it. I think it's even the second ingredient in sriracha is sugar. And gauchang, the Korean word I can never say correctly, that chili sauce also has sugar in it. But if you buy sambal, sambal is also a generic word, but the ones that all the sambals that I've seen in the supermarket are sambal oleg, I think you say it. But those do not have sugar in them. So I've been using that now. So you put that in with the other seasonings. You stir it around. And then she puts in carrots and spinach. I've done the spinach. I'm not eating carrots, but I've done many other vegetables. So the other day I did it with some diced green pepper and diced ham and more scallions than she calls for. I mean, you can play with this. At the end, you put in the what's called riced cauliflower. Now, you can rice your own cauliflower with a food processor, but I can also buy it in a bag in the supermarket. And the fact is, cauliflower by the head is so expensive, between the week before Thanksgiving and until after New Year's, cauliflower goes crazy. But then after New Year, it goes back down to a normal, $3, $4 a head. It was $7 a head the other day. So I bought the riced cauliflower. It saves me a little effort, and you know what? It wasn't very expensive compared to the whole head. And you put that. Oh, and of course, you maybe want to add some soy sauce. Now, Ray Drummond, the pioneer woman, puts fried eggs on top of hers. But I like to make my fried rice, even when I'm making real fried rice, with scrambled egg. So what I do is with the cauliflower fried rice, after it's just when it's just about finished, meaning taste the cauliflower and see if it's cooked enough for you. It shouldn't be mushy. It should still be, have a texture sort of a rice. I put in a couple scrambled eggs into one. I push it to the side, and I put some scrambled, some beaten egg in on the other side and let it set a little bit, and then little by little stir it into the major part of the fried rice. It's very good, and, it's depending on what you put into it, it could have practically no calories if you're watching calories. So it's probably very good on calorie counting diets, too. By the way, calories do count. And I've discussed this with my doctor only last week. We agreed I need to move more if I want to continue eating the way I do, or I need to eat less. So in the new year, I think we're going to go on a calorie version of keto. And that's going to involve a lot of salad, because we know, Bob and I, that if we do salads for a couple days, even if the salad has hard-cooked, we always have to have a little protein. So we do salad with hard-cooked egg, salad with tuna, salad with some lean-ish protein. And by the way, I say lean-ish. On the keto diet, you can have a lot of fat, but it should be good fat. So I do use, ample olive oil on most things. And I make a bunch of vegetables, as they say in the keto world, as carriers of fat, meaning cream spinach, who can complain? Or here's one that I do. I'm sure I've talked about this on the air before. Fennel, sliced fennel, another vegetable you're allowed. So, I by the way, we like raw fennel here, too. But I slice the fennel through the core, so to speak, end, so that you have slices that hold together. There are going to be some end slices that don't. Don't worry about it. Put them in a skillet in one layer. Cover it with water. Put in a glug of olive oil or a tablespoon or so of butter per head of garlic, head of fennel, a big pinch of salt, and let the water boil and cook the fennel until the fennel is tender and the water boils out entirely. And I know when it is. I can hear. If I'm not watching the pan, which you're not going to do because it takes a long time, you can hear when it gets down to the fat that you've put in the pan and there's no more water. At that point, excuse me, I allow the fennel to get a little caramelized, browned, and if we can eat it just like that. I like it just like that. No, I love it just like that. However, one day, in an attempt to use up a bit of cream, I threw the cream in the pan and came up with this delicious fennel, like caramel fennel sauce. Barely a sauce, but anyway. So now that Mr. Harnett has seen Paris, he cannot go back to the farm, and we can never have fennel plain again. Although I will, I'll pawn it off on him one of these days. And by the way, if you want to make that even more elaborate, you can do this in a pan that goes into the under the broiler, and after you've got this caramelized, delicious, creamy fennel, you can put some grated cheese on top, any kind of cheese you like, even cheddar cheese, but you know, I usually have some Parmigiano. And brown it a little bit. Boy, is that... And you can eat that as a meal. Now, if I only had bread to mop up everything with. So we eat a lot of cabbage. We eat a lot of cauliflower. Oh, this... You know, when I did my a little presentation in Sheffield a month... Well, how long ago was it? 6 weeks ago. Somebody, there were a lot of keto people in the audience. By the way, apparently it's the number one diet in the country, and I understand why. If you want to, if you're just ready in January for some quick weight loss, it's a good way to go. You can give up carbohydrates for a couple of weeks. If you're in for the long haul, is it sustainable? You know, you have to cook. You have to cook a lot. But this day of the pandemic, isn't everybody home cooking anyway? So I mean, we eat a lot of eggs. Just to sort of round up here, we eat a lot. As I said, a lot of vegetables cooked with fat, cabbage braised with butter. I like braised celery, which means you know, cook it a few minutes in butter or oil, and then put broth in the pan and cook that out. I make roast peppers. I'm really big on peppers. Peppers are an allowable vegetable. Green peppers. Red peppers. I get very good red peppers even this time of the year from Mexico, and I roast them, and we just eat them with great olive oil. And if I want to dress them, I'll put some olives and capers. I eat anchovies. Bob doesn't. He eats tuna, and that with a lettuce salad is a really good plate. We eat eggs. Did I say that? A lot of eggs. Beef lately doesn't appeal to me as much as it used to, unless it's grilled meat. So we, you know, years ago, people would say, well, I don't cook, Arthur. I listen to your radio program, but I don't cook. I said, well, what do you eat? And they would say, well, you know, I'll broil some lamb chops and make a salad. I said, well, that's cooking. And I consider that cooking. And I could, if I just broil some meat and make a salad, that's a nice meal, especially for a keto person. And in the salad, cucumbers. We are really big on cucumbers lately. They have no calories to speak of, no carbohydrates to speak of. By the way, very close cousin of cantaloupe melon, so they're in the same, you know, sphere. We eat cucumbers with sour cream. We eat cucumbers with sour cream and dill. Or how about cucumbers with yogurt, garlic, and mint? I always keep dried mint in the house. Don't have to go out and buy. If you have mint in your garden, though, you're even better. Not even better. It's different, but it's good. Actually, I love dried mint, and it is different than fresh mint. I have very good dried spearmint from the Middle Eastern store. By the way, I find dried mint holds up longer than most things, most dried herbs. I don't keep a lot of dried herbs in the house, but more lately than I used to. I can't always go out and buy fresh thyme, and I don't always have a use for all the fresh thyme you need to buy when you buy fresh thyme. So in the end, I dry what's left over, and I have dry thyme anyway. We do crave tomato sauce, but since we're not eating pasta, I have been making tomato sauce for fish. to get us, you know, off the tomato sauce craving. And my favorite, I suppose, is monkfish. And I will cook a little garlic, crushed clove or two of garlic, not crushed through a crusher, but with the heel of my hand, in some olive oil, sort of nurse it in the oil for a while. Throw in my hunks. I cut up those monkfish tails into, 2-inch pieces, and put them in the pan and let them glaze over. And then add a can of tomatoes and let it simmer and mash them up or maybe you'll even use diced tomatoes. And let them simmer for a while. Salt, pepper. I like oregano in this. Again, dried oregano. And let it simmer until the fish is tender. And you end up with a really good sauce. What to eat it with is always something to think about. We've learned to sort of mop up our fish, mop the sauce up with our actual fish, which is a good thing to do. Bob likes to have a plate of lettuce at hand, which he considers his bread. So, he just eats raw lettuce, usually romaine. By the way, we're very big on iceberg here, too, because you can have rich, fat-laden dressings when you're on this diet. For instance, I do make myself a blue cheese dressing and have it on a wedge of iceberg. To me, that's a good dinner. And Bob likes both Russian dressing a lot, and I now make ranch dressing sort of regularly these days, which is, I've talked on the radio, 1/3 mayonnaise, 1/3 sour cream, 1/3 buttermilk, which is, after all, a low-fat product. And then in the end, I end up diluting it a little bit more, usually with more buttermilk. And to that I add grated garlic. I use my microplane. This is my favorite use of a microplane, is to grate garlic these days. And I grate at least for 1.5 cups, 2 cloves of garlic grated. And then really quite a lot of a dill chopped, fresh dill, and fresh parsley chopped. If you want to add other herbs to that, go ahead, but that's all I need. And what else? Salt and pepper. Oh, and I put in usually a few dashes of Worcestershire sauce and a few drops, at least, of Tabasco, and that's it. And this holds up in the fridge for days, so you can have it at will over your... and it's very good on tomatoes, too, and you can actually... Those Campari tomatoes, the ones from Mexico, not the ones necessarily from Canada, are really terrific, and I could just have a lunch of tomatoes with and lettuce to fill me up. Speaking of filling me up, zucchini is a good vegetable to fill you up on this diet. Mm-hmm. Practically no calories, too. I could go on and on, as you can imagine, but I see the time. Is it time for Auld Lang Syne?
It's there, but the year in keto has been reviewed.
The year in keto. Well, if anybody has... I mean, it's a great diet if you are willing to give up some of your main comfort foods. And they are... And by the way, on a really stressful day, and there have been a few lately, I eat carbohydrates because there's nothing like a bowl of noodle soup to calm me down. I had kasha recently. That calmed me down. It was the thing I craved, kasha, with a lot of fried onions. And even the onions, were a splurge because I limit the amount of high-carb onions in my cooking. Garlic, not so much because, how much garlic do you eat? Yeah. And shallots are a good substitute for onions sometimes.
All right.
So anyway, everybody have a happy and healthy important here, New Year. Eat hearty, whatever you're eating. Eat with pleasure. And cook with pleasure.
All right, and we'll speak to you next year.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, Arthur. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.